Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Shyam Sundara, Radha Shyam Sundara Radhe. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Prayava Jakacharya Astotara Sata Sri Srimad. His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundara Gopa Gopinath Radha Kun Shamakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narotamam Devam Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet Nastaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Rutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtuki. Hare Krishna. Good morning. Welcome. Thank you for assembling here today. We are serving the Srimad Bhagavatam third canto. This is the 13th chapter, verse 12. Param shushrushanam mayam syat praja rakshaya nripa bhagavamste praja bhartur Rishikesho Natushyati Param Shushrushanam Mayam Syat Praja Rakshaya Nripa Bhagavamste Praja Bhartur Rishikesho Natushyati Param Shushushanam Mayam Syat Praja Rakshaya Nripa Bhagavamste Praja Bhartur Rishikesho Nutushyati. Please chant. Thank you. Param, the greatest. Shushushanam, devotional service. Mayam, unto me. Syat, should be. Praja, the living entities born in the material world. Rakshaya, by saving them from being spoiled. Nripa, O King. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Te, with you. Praja, Bhartu, with the protector of the living beings. Rishikesha, the Lord of the senses. Anutoshyati, is satisfied. O King, if you can give proper protection to the living beings in the material world, that will be the best service for me. When the Supreme Lord sees you to be a good protector of the conditioned souls, certainly the Master of the senses will be very pleased with you. Please repeat. O King, if you can give proper protection to the living beings in the material world, that will be the best service for me. When the Supreme Lord sees you to be a good protector of the conditioned souls, certainly the Master of the senses will be very pleased with you. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Purport by translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The whole administrative system is arranged for the purpose of going back home, back to Godhead. Brahma is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Manu is the representative of Brahma. Similarly, all other kings on different planets of the universe are representatives of Manu. The law book for the entire human society is the Manu Samhita, which directs all activities towards the transcendental service of the Lord. Every king, therefore, must know that his responsibility in administration is not merely to exact taxes from the citizens, but to see personally that the citizens under him are being trained in Vishnu worship. Everyone must be educated in Vishnu worship and engaged in the devotional service of Hrishikesh, the owner of the senses. The conditioned souls are meant not to satisfy their material senses, but to satisfy the senses of Hrishikesh, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the purpose of the complete administrative system. That is the purpose of the complete administrative system. One who knows this secret as disclosed herein, here in the version of Brahma, is the perfect administrative head. One who does not know this is a showbottle administrator. By training the citizens in the devotional service of the Lord, the head of a state can be free in his responsibility. Otherwise, he will fail in the onerous duty entrusted to him and thus be punishable by the supreme authority. There is no other alternative in the discharge of administrative duty. Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the conversation is continuing between Lord Brahma and Swayambhuva Manu. And we heard in the beginning of the chapter about how pleased Lord Brahma is with Swayambhuva Manu because he's willing to take on the responsibility that Lord Brahma asked him to. And then we heard about the relationship between father and son, and how when the son is willing to accept the guidance from the father, how pleasing that is. And in all circumstances, that would be the case. So today, we're looking more into the purpose of administration, because Lord Brahma is wanting, he's explaining to Swayambhuva Manu that the purpose of the administrator is to make sure that the praja, the citizens, whoever's being administrated to, that they become Krishna conscious. So I thought that we could look today at there's different levels of administration. We start with, of course, the chief, obviously, is Krishna. He's the main administrator, and he, in his form of Lord Vishnu, he creates this material world, not because he wants to, but because we have that desire to enjoy separate from him. So because of that desire, and we cannot do that in the material world, we have to come here. So he makes this place, but he makes it in such a way that eventually we'll want to turn to him, because we experience so much unhappiness and suffering here. No matter how hard we try, we keep experiencing, we're always chewing the chewed. There's the 10 purposes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's see, one of them, the fourth one is Poshana. Poshana is special care and protection by devotees. Oh, special care and protection for devotees by the Lord. As a king maintains his kingdom and subjects, but nevertheless gives special attention to the members of his family, so the personality of Godhead gives special care to his devotees, who are souls completely surrendered to him. So within this administration, if we take interest in the Supreme Lord, he will take special interest in us, and we have the opportunity to get out of here and to become fully Krishna conscious. And then the next level of administrator, we could say, would be universal administrators like Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, we see that we heard in the previous chapter how he was unhappy at having to, you know, create this idea of illusion and have to give us the understanding that the mistaken understanding that this body is who we are. He was very sad about that, because that's the thing that keeps us here, you know, lifetime after lifetime. So he takes responsibility. He tries to give us, show us the way out. For example, by giving us the Brahma Samhita, he describes the spiritual world in those prayers, and if we study those and we chant them regularly as we do here, we get to learn and understand more and more about where it is we are wanting to go, and understanding more about how it's so much better than where we are now. So he tries to give us that guidance. Then we have the demigods, of course, who they help us according to what we want. If we want material things, then they'll help us in that way. But if we want Krishna, if we want to try to reconnect ourselves with Krishna, they can help us with that as well. Then we're hearing about Swayambhuva Manu here, who gave us the Manu Samhita, which is also one of the topics, one of the 10 topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This number 6 is Manvantara, the periods controlled by the Manus, who teach regulative principles for living beings who desire to achieve perfection in human life. The rules of Manu are described in the Manu Samhita. They guide the way to such perfection. So then there's he gives us those rules. And then we some are very challenging. Some are practically impossible for us to follow now. But Srila Prabhupada says that we try to do the best that we can, which we'll talk about that a little bit more in a bit. Then we have the kings, which previously we had kings who were, as we heard in the purport, they're the representatives of Krishna, and their purpose is to keep the citizens happy, but also, more importantly, to make sure that they are engaged in Krishna consciousness. I have a couple of quotes here from one particular class of Srila Prabhupada. this is Montreal, October 23rd, 1968. So very early in the movement. And the devotee says, Swamiji, so the present government in the world, and then Prabhupada cuts him off, and he says, we are not concerned with government. We say there is I skipped something. I was talking about the kings first, and I wanted to ask, we'll come back to that, I wanted to ask you for just, you can kind of shout out a few examples of some of the ideal kings that we hear about in the Srimad Bhagavatam. King Yudhishthir, yeah. Lord Ram, mm-hmm. Prithu Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj. Anyone else? Okay, so there are many, and we hear all about them throughout these our pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Unfortunately, they're not present at the moment. So now we come to the level of our current government. We have our global and national government. And so this is where I wanted to just make this quote read this quote from Srila Prabhupada. So the devotee is getting ready to ask him about government, and Prabhupada says, we are not concerned with government. We say there is no Kshatriya, there is no government. At the present moment, anyone who's got some artificial power, he is government, that's all. You get some way or other a little vote, and you become government. So government does not mean that. Government is another. Because there is no Kshatriya, and where is government? They are thinking. Government means they should be always thinking how the citizens should be peaceful and happy and spiritually advanced. That is government. And who is caring for the citizens? They are simply exacting tax, that's all. So actually, in the Kali Yuga, because there is no Kshatriya, where is the government? Shudra government is no government. Shudra has no right to govern, but by force they are governing. That's all. Might is right. So that's basically what's happening now as far as the level of the government that we have. There's not really any interest in encouraging the people so much even to be religious, what to speak of Krishna conscious. So we moved from there to the next level, and I was thinking to start bringing it in a little bit more and to look at our GBC, because that is that's the government of our movement. And so I just wanted to read one or two quotes here from Srila Prabhupada about the purpose of the GBC, because it's good. I mean, maybe everyone already knows, but it's always good to understand what's going on in our movement and what Srila Prabhupada wanted, and how, and whether or not are things going along those lines. We should know about these things and discuss these things. So this is a letter from Srila Prabhupada. He says, as we have increased our volume of activities, now I think a governing body commission, hereinafter referred to as the GBC, should be established. I'm getting old, 75 years old. Therefore, at any time, I may be out of the scene. Therefore, I think it is necessary to give instruction to my disciples how they shall manage the whole situation. They are already managing individual centers represented by one president, one secretary, and one treasurer. And in my opinion, they are doing nice. But we want still more improvement in the standard of temple management. Propaganda for Krishna consciousness. So these are the things. Improvement in the standard of temple management, propaganda for Krishna consciousness, distribution of books and literatures, opening of new centers, and educating devotees to the right standard. So this is the one, you could say, purpose of the GBC. And then this is a letter from July 28th, 1970. And then how to do that? Here's another quote from a letter. He says, now all my disciples must work combinedly and with cooperation to spread the Sankirtan movement. If you cannot work together, then my work is stopped up. Our society is like one big family, and our relationships should be based on love and trust. We must give up the fighting spirit and use our intelligence to push ahead. So this is a letter to Upendra, August 1970. So then we move from, so again, there's the government whose their purpose is to make sure that the people, in this case, the members of ISKCON, are advancing spiritually. And then we move to the temple administrator. So this is another level of government, of administration. So there's a few quotes here also about the purpose of the temple. Here Prabhupada says, so there is no particular place where we have to start our temple. Anywhere we can start temple, if we start. We are starting temple daily, either in the beach or underneath a tree or anywhere. But for special purpose, this temple is already there. So people are welcome and hear this Krishna consciousness philosophy and take benefit out of it. That's all. It's March 23rd, 1969, Hawaii. This is Vrindavan, October 1972. Just to attract people, to give them spiritual inspiration, that is the purpose of the temple. And then this is March 8th, 1972, Calcutta. Temple means people should come, people should learn the science of God. That is temple. Temple means spiritual, educational shelter. In Vrindavan, there are so many temples. They have become made a business by showing temple, collecting money. This is not good. There must be. Temple means people should come, people should learn the science of God. That is temple, not to make a business of temple. Therefore, everything is, not only in India, all over the world, the churches also, they have dwindled. Now in Europe and America, so many churches are for sale. We have purchased so many churches because people have no more even interest in. I was thinking about this yesterday when Mother Akuti was giving class, and she mentioned that there was some church in High Springs that has closed now, and they used to do like a big spread for Christmas. And so I thought about this quote here. We have purchased so many churches because people have no more even interest in. There is no education. Temple means spiritual educational shelter. People should come. They should learn what is spiritual life, what is God, what is my relationship with God. That is temple. So this is, I like these because it just reminds me of the importance of education, and then that's one of the main purposes of the temple, that devotees should come and be able to learn about Krishna and advance more and more, and that's what we're coming here for. Then another level of administration is the spiritual master. Obviously, the spiritual master is the administrator of the life of the disciple, and the spiritual master's purpose is to encourage the disciple and bring the disciple up to the proper standard, and engage them in Krishna service, and take them back to Godhead. But of course, the disciple also has the responsibility of following and doing their best in their practices. I wanted to play a little quote here. Let's see if this will work. This is from a lecture where Srila Prabhupada is speaking about the spiritual master. And how, how to recognize properly the spiritual master. Let me see if you can hear it.
Volume now without demand, without body. Let it go. Most means he possess this material now, but he has got the subtle body. That is God. So, without knowledge, what is the aim of life? What is actual life? If something, if somebody is misguided by so-called guides or guru, then his life is spoiled. Therefore, Vedas gives a direction. Tadvijnanartham sa guru meva abhigacche samitpani srotriyam brahmanishtam. Tasmad gurum prabaddeta jignyasu sreya uttamam. Kape parecham istatam brahmanishu samasrayam. These are the definitions. Tadvijdhi pranipatena pariprasnena sivaya.
Is it too low? I'll just read it. Okay. He says, so we have to approach the right spiritual master. That is our system, everyone's system. Adau gurvashrayam sadharma prikchat. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the direction of Srila Rupa Goswami. So we have to accept the bona fide spiritual master. Who is spiritual master? Now, evam parampara praptam imam rajarsheo vidu, Bhagavad Gita 4.2. By the parampara system, one who has got the knowledge, he's a spiritual master. And the proof is how one is spiritual master. That means parampara, as Krishna says. He does not change the words of Krishna, but he follows the words of Krishna and then preaches the words of Krishna. That is the proof of spiritual master. That's all. Firm faith, unflinching devotion at the lotus feet of the Lord, and speaking what the Lord spoke. No manufacturing. That is bona fide spiritual master. Okay. So again, that spiritual master guides the life of the disciple. And the disciple has to be responsible also and accept the guidance and use it properly. And then the next level of administrator, I was thinking also would be the spouse, in the sense that in a marriage, the husband and wife, they're responsible for each other, not only materially, obviously, but spiritually. And the spouse has the obligation to try to help the other spouse to come to Krishna. And it could be, you know, traditionally, it's usually that the man, the wife, follows the husband, and then they advance that way. But because it's Kali Yuga and things are all mixed up, it could be the other way around. So whoever is the most advanced, then the other should kind of take some inspiration from that, and together they move forward spiritually. There's a little more I wanted to share from that class of Srila Prabhupada's, where he's asked, another question they ask is about grihastha life. And Prabhupada says, grihastha means to live with wife. This is the meaning of grihastha. And a grihastha is supposed to support others who are not grihasthas. Just like brahmachari. Brahmachari means student life. So grihasthas support them, sannyasis, other three classes. Because they are engaged in a different subject matter, they have no time to earn their livelihood. Speaking about the other three. And therefore, those who are grihasthas, they take charge of him. This is the Vedic system. But there's a caveat. Then he says, Srila Prabhupada, but they should live also on the bare necessities of life. They should not be luxurious. They, meaning the other three, the sannyasis, vanaprastha, brahmachari. They should not be luxurious. A brahmachari cannot be luxurious. A sannyasi cannot be luxurious. A vanaprastha cannot be luxurious. Luxury is allowed only to the householder because they are earning their own money. Others are dependent, so one cannot be luxurious at the expense of others. That is not allowed. Okay, so that's a little bit about grihastha life. And then another level of administrators I was thinking of would be parents. So the parent has the responsibility of bringing, it starts even before conception. It starts with the parent themselves trying to be very good devotees, as good as possible, as much as possible, and then bringing into the world children who are also very inclined towards spiritual life. And then the parent has the responsibility, just as the king has the responsibility of making sure the praja are Krishna conscious, the parent has the responsibility of teaching Krishna consciousness to the child by example, first and foremost, and then from there. There are many... Let's see, there's that famous quote from Lord Rishabhdev. Guru nasasyat, swajano nasasyat, pita nasasyat, janani nasasyat. Daivam natatsyan napatischa sasyan namochayarya samupetya mrityum. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or worshipable demigod. So this is, it's pretty serious stuff. And obviously, you know, again, there's a part in the class that I'm quoting from here where Srila Prabhupada says we can't really do anything right. So we just do the best that we can. So, you know, there's some leeway there. But however we do, you know, take it seriously and we do try to do our best, he says, as far as possible. So as far as possible means, for one thing, means as far as possible means not, we have to be careful that we're not not being lazy, you know, that we really are working to the our highest capacity as far as trying to become Krishna conscious. I have a friend who many years ago, she said to me, I'm a no mom, meaning that it's okay to, the parent doesn't have to feel like they have to give their child everything, you know. One of my favorite quotes I have, I found it on the internet somewhere, I keep it in my classroom. It says, the word no releases a child from the tyranny of their own desires. So I like that a lot. Because, you know, especially with any children, but with devotees, we really have to be careful to, there has to be a balance, you know, that yes, you know, it's good, we want to do fun things with our kids and we don't want them to feel like they're deprived of, you know, some of the stuff that's out there. But that can't be our priority. Our priority is to encourage them to become Krishna conscious so that when they're on their own, when they go off, they'll still want to continue and pursue that life. And it can be very challenging. But again, it's a lot of it is us being trying our best and leading by example. Another level of administrator, which, so this one is a little, there someone can be a leader in our movement, because our movement, if you think about it, is very small, actually. So it's easy to become famous. You can become famous in ISKCON for something, because we're actually a small group. And so with that fame comes responsibility. And so we have, sometimes someone can be a leader. I'm not talking about a leader in the sense of like a, you know, guru or like that. That's okay, that's a leader, that's expected. But sometimes we can become a leader. For example, if I, like, we have devotees who chant very nicely, you know, and they become famous for that because they have such a taste for the holy name, and they just love to chant and they do it very nicely. So this is very nice. But we also have to remember that with that, there's responsibility. For example, If I sit down to lead a kirtan and people are coming because, yes, they like the holy name, but also maybe they like to hear me specifically. I'm just using myself as an example. They like to hear me specifically. So then there's some responsibility there. Whether it might be wanted, it might be unwanted, might be acknowledged or unacknowledged, but it's there. So then there's some responsibility. For example, sometimes we might see that maybe devotees don't necessarily wear neck beads. Just gonna throw that out there. So we know in the nectar of devotion, that's one of the things that's listed in there. It's so important for devotees to wear neck beads. And we've actually one devotee was telling me a story about Srila Prabhupada when he was in Los Angeles one time, and there was a child that didn't have neck beads on, and Srila Prabhupada got very heavy about it, and he said, "Oh, you don't understand the seriousness of wearing neck beads." Yeah, and something along those lines, like if you understood, you would never not wear neck beads, was along those lines. So this is could be like a small thing, but you know, again, there's that role of being a leader. I'm sitting in front of others and others are following me, even though I'm not a guru or I'm not the temple president. But still, I have followers. People are following me. So then I need to feel some responsibility to give a good example. So that kind of moves into sort of the last level that I could think of anyway was self-administration. So just me remembering that whatever I do, I want to try to remember that I'm setting an example for others, and so I want to try to live my life in a way that that others can follow. There's a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:22-35. It says, "It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words." So, meaning that even if all the other leaders in our lives, whatever is going on, even if somebody is not doing what they're supposed to do, there's some problem, whatever, with the government, whatever, but still, I have my individual responsibility to try to be Krishna conscious and to try to help others to do the same. I was in Trader Joe's the other day. Well, I'm always in Trader Joe's buying flowers. And there was a lady and this is not a criticism, but it's an observation. It's a sad observation. There was a lady with a stroller, a cute little fancy stroller, and I looked to see the baby, and there was a dog in there. It really moved me. I just felt very sad. I was thinking, you know, like in what is the Nunam Param, what is that verse? Yeah. And what is the translation, please, Prabhu? Yeah. Yeah. So it's I mean, people are really mad. Because what benefit is she going to make? What benefit is even the dog going to make at the end of her life? This is what she's going to be thinking about. And, you know, sometimes we say, oh, well, don't criticize. So again, it's not criticism, but it's a cry. It's a cry for, you know, reminding me that I have to do better and be stronger so that I can influence others. Because people are suffering. They're really, really suffering. And so the responsibility is there that Srila Prabhupada has given us to go out there and try to help people and raise their consciousness and know what is the right thing, what is to be done, what is not to be done. What is the purpose of human life? The purpose of human life is not to make sure that the dog is comfortable. I mean, it's okay, you have your dog, but don't go so overboard that it becomes worship, because that's what it is, it's worship. The purpose of life is for worshiping the Supreme Lord so that we don't have to keep coming back here and suffering and misusing our intelligence. So I'll read the verse once again. O King, if you can give proper protection to the living beings in the material world, that will be the best service for me. When the Supreme Lord sees you to be a good protector of the conditioned souls, certainly the master of the senses will be very pleased with you. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any questions, comments, corrections?
Thank you, Ekadasi Prabhu.
Thank you.
Can you give an example of how the demigods help us to come closer to Krishna?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Well, there's, for example, I've been listening to lots of lectures about creation, actually, and trying to understand more about how the universe has come to be, you know. And one of the things I've been hearing about is Lord Shiva and how he, you could say, is the creator of the false ego. So, so if we understand that, then kind of we can also pray to him and ask for help in kind of removing that, in helping us to become more to get rid of that consciousness that this body is who I am. Yeah, so in that sense, we don't worship the demigods as supreme. We understand that they're working for Krishna, but we can ask for help to get closer to Krishna.
I was just remembering in regards to Ragatmika's question, when Dhruva Maharaj was, killing all the yakshas and everything, when he got angry that his brother got killed by one of the yakshas, so he was going crazy and killing everybody, and then I think Swambhuvamanu came and said, okay, cool it down, you know, it's all right, you know. And at that time, Kuvera, he came and he really he praised Dhruva. But it's interesting, Dhruva, he asked for anything, benediction, and And if I remember correctly, Kuvera gave him the benediction of pure devotional service to always serve. And I thought it was very interesting that here's a demigod and you think how much power they have or what they can give. I forget the exact exchange, but basically Kuvera gave him that boon of benediction, blessings of always serving the devotees and serving the Lord. So apparently, yeah, like you said, you can pray to them and they can give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the was it the gopis who worshiped the goddess Katyayani because they wanted Krishna as their husband.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Dandit Pranam Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. My humble obeisance is at the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis here. So Mataji, we were discussing about the Varnashram system where you said that the householder has the responsibility to take care of all the other ashramas. So as a householder, how shall we live our life? Like, shall we save something that because in future we might have to go to Vaniprastha, and or shall we like do more and more charity and live a life of austerity so that we can practice to be a Vaniprastha someday? So how should we go about it? Hare Krishna.
I think it depends. Honestly, I think it depends on the person's level of faith. You know, what they feel, how much they feel comfortable doing. Like, we know the understanding is there that yes, at some point I have to move on, you know, and my whole life cannot just be work, 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 and I stay in that mode until the day I die. So as far as, you know, I mean, most people, they have like their whatever 401k and there's money set aside for that. So that's, you know, that's naturally, that's intelligent. We do that because, you know, there's, for everyone, there's the idea that you retire at a certain age. Of course, they're pushing it off further and further and further, but we don't want to do that. Yeah, so there's, you know, we can just, the route is still there. I think it is possible to move faster on that path, but it depends, again, on the person's level of faith. So, yeah, so I don't feel like I can tell you, oh, you know, quit your job now, Krishna's going to take care of you. I could say that, but maybe that's not going to work out. So, but if you really feel like that, you and your husband really feel like that, and you're prepared to kind of deal with whatever comes, then you know that's another possible route. And you know, I was listening to one class by Vaisheshika Prabhu where. That kind of came up as far as sort of like how to know when to move on from one stage to the next. And so he gave a very nice balanced answer, of course. Excuse me. And then Navina Narada Prabhu, who was there also, you know, in the class, he agreed with that as well, but then he also said, he gave a quote by Narada Muni, which I can't quote, but I can paraphrase. And basically Narada Muni was saying that even if you jump into something before you're really ready to and it doesn't work out, that still, because you did it for Krishna, he'll reciprocate and it's pleasing to him. So it's like, okay, we can take the comfortable route because we feel safe that way, but even if we try to jump ahead and it turns out to be a mistake, still we're going to benefit because we did it for Krishna. So either way.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Uh-huh. That quote reminded me of the bhajan, like, Avashi Rakshi Be Krishna. Vishwasapalan. Like, Krishna will always protect us, mm-hmm. no matter what. So.
Yeah, yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you for class. I just wanted to thank you for the reminder of leading by example, or just being an example, whether you know or you don't know, others are looking mm-hmm. at you within the community and outside of the community, and to do more of a better job to come from a place of scriptural, you know, authority when you're speaking, when you're, you know, dressed, everything that you do, to be more mindful mm-hmm. with how we act, because others might be looking up to us, either not now, down the line, as well as, you know, raising our consciousness and just always being in that mindset. So mm-hmm. thank you for that reminder. I feel like we all have that, need that accountability within ourselves mm-hmm. and realizing others are looking and watching us too. So we need that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that it? Okay.
Thank you. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.